The sermon text this morning from our gospel reading. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it is the first Sunday of Advent, and all creation is waiting the advent of the promised Messiah, the one who has coming into the world, the one who God promised when Adam and Eve fell into sin, the one who would crush the serpent's head. Mary, the favored one, has been contacted by the angel Gabriel. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, has felt her baby leap in her womb at Mary's greeting. And Mary, or Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." As we recall the appearing of the Messiah, and we hold the first Christmas in our hearts as the first advent of our Lord, we at the same time look forward to the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could call ourselves the waiting ones. Not for the first advent, but we are waiting for the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the ascended Lord Jesus to return in power and glory and might. We have heard in the last Sundays of the church year what to expect. We have heard about the upheavals in nature. We have heard about the false teachings that will fill the church to such an extent that God would have to cut the days short lest anyone be saved. So when will the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ be? We are not told. We do not know the day nor the hour. As the scripture says, not the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father knows the day and the time when this will take place. But what do we know? We do know that we are to always be ready. And we are given a warning. We are warned by Jesus that the days will be just like they were in the days before Noah entered the ark. And basically that's a way of saying it's going to be normal, every ordinary days. There's not going to be anything exaggerated. There's not going to be anything. It's just the world will be rolling along. People will be marrying and giving in marriage. People will be dying. People will be born. And then all of a sudden, pow! There it is, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus appearing in heaven with all his angels, with the host of heavenly beings, and the trumpet blast of heaven will sound forth, and we will all see with our own eyes the Lord Jesus Christ descending from the heavens. The days will be just like they were when the flood came over the earth. People working in the fields, people doing all kinds of daily labor when the catastrophe came upon them. Our text tells us this. Two men will be working in the field. One will be left. One will be taken. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be left and one will be taken. It's an important verse to understand. But sadly, this verse is often used to support the false teaching of what is called the rapture. It's a teaching that proposes that Jesus will return twice before the end of days. There are several versions of this teaching, which can be called dispensationalism. There is a pre-tribulation rapture, as popularized many years ago in the Left Behind series of books and movies. In that teaching, the righteous are raptured while the sinners are left behind to deal with the great tribulation until Jesus returns again for his 1,000-year reign on earth, a reign of peace. You see, though, the problem with using this verse to support a teaching like that is that our text refers to the time of the flood. Okay, now bear that in mind, the time of the flood. In the flood, who was taken and who was left behind? Now, in the false teaching of dispensationalism, right, the people taken are the ones who are taken away into heaven and the rest of the people are left behind to struggle and bring the church back down, whatever. There's many different teachings, but the point here being, well, in the flood, you certainly didn't want to be one of those who were taken, right? Because the flood waters rose and the flood took the people. They were taken away. Those left behind were Noah and his family, for Noah had found favor with the Lord. They were saved in the ark. The Bible and Christ teach something different than dispensationalism. They do not teach the style of a millennial kingdom or a rapture or anything of that nature. Scripture teaches something different. Because peace does not come in some future millennial kingdom. Remember that the angels sang at Jesus' birth, and what did they sing? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. Peace comes to earth in the person and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We remember, peace on earth is not at some future time, but at the birth of Jesus, the very Christ whose appearing we await during the season of Advent. The peace of God comes in the birth of Jesus Christ and in the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel, Jesus Christ says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." This declaration of peace has a cause. And what is the declaration? What is the cause of the declaration of peace? For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. We do not wait for a future reign of Christ on earth. We do not wait for a time of great tribulation. None of that will happen in this dispensational teaching because it's a false teaching. It is a wrong teaching of Scripture. When Jesus comes again, he will not come secretly. He will not rapture a certain amount of people away and the rest of us will be left behind to struggle here. When Jesus comes the second time, it won't be like he did the first time. It won't be quietly in a cradle in a small town in the Middle East. He will come in power and might and majesty and glory, and every eye shall hear and every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be no secret appearing in Jesus. Jesus will return with the host of his angels. He will return visibly in the sight of all people for the purpose of the final judgment of the world and the ushering of his church into eternal glory. This is why we need to be ready every day. We don't want to be caught in manifest sin on the day that Jesus returns. We don't want to be caught in that moment of unrepentance. We want to be found faithful to Jesus Christ our Lord in that day. We want to be ready for that moment. As Martin Luther writes, he will then not be bedded in a manger, nor will he ride on a donkey as he did in his first advent, but he will burst forth from the clouds in power and glory. We are to remember this fact and to hold it against first those who will scoff and say something like, well, he hasn't come back yet. He's not coming. Where is his appearing? We also want to hold this teaching against the general forgetfulness of Christians who do, by the weakness of our flesh, are apt to fail to remember the second coming of Jesus. Now, when is this going to happen? When is Jesus going to burst forth from the clouds full of power and might? We do not know. We don't know when this happens. It could be now. It could be in an hour. It could be in 10 hours, 100 hours, 10,000 years. We don't know. But we are to be ready and ready for it at any moment. What we do know is this. Heaven and earth will creak and crack like an old house ready to crash and collapse. It's like when we feel the weaknesses of the body, with our body creaking and joints creaking. These are the heralds of the end of a person's life. All of this pointing to the fact that the end is to come. So the weakness in nature, the weakness in our flesh, all of this is pointing to the fact that the end of the world is going to come, that Jesus is going to return. Now, do we think about this as we ought to think about it? I'm sure we don't think about it as much as we ought to think about it. And the truth of the matter is that even for those of the Christian church, our failure to recognize the abnormalities and the precursors of the advent of Christ is due to the astounding dulling of our eyes and our minds and our hearts that has happened since the fall into sin. We are so dulled that even things that should slap us in the face as abnormal come across to us as normal. There isn't supposed to be pandemics. There isn't supposed to be epidemics. There isn't supposed to be warfare and bloodshed. None of that is supposed to happen, but it's an everyday occurrence in our world. Violence and hatred and mockery and you name it, that's normal for us. So normal that we don't even see that it's not normal, and that it is a precursor to the end of the world. Because we were created for love, and we were created to serve one another. And it's terribly abnormal that our interests clash with one another, and entire nations wage war ever more devastating and bloody upon the earth. Epidemics and famine shouldn't be happening, because we are to fill the earth and let it nourish us. The list and the examples could go on for pages, but we have heard them in the last Sundays of the church year. Let us simply say the greater part of the signs have been shown already. The parts of the heralding Jesus' return, the upheavals in nature, the upheavals in the political world, the upheavals in all of the earth, all of these things mostly have been fulfilled. And I wouldn't expect many others to be coming. We just know it's going to be soon. How soon, we don't know. Let's just simply say this. We are to be ready. At all times, we are to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So let us keep alert and let us stay alert, for we do not know the day or the time or the hour when Jesus Christ will return. Therefore, as we wait the celebration of the first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, we also eagerly expect the second advent of that same Jesus. In Christ's holy name, amen.